Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This special presentation called Law of Attraction and Business is a conversation with Anari Bellamy. And Anari will be joining me shortly here. She is an entrepreneur. She's had several businesses under her belt. She's worked for various agencies. And she has texting me, and apparently we've gotten our numbers crossed here, so we're good. She'll be joining me shortly. Anyway, so she is a mom and a wife, and she, like I said, she has several businesses, writing blogs, SEO articles for bloggers and SEO professionals. She's had a business that was created executive assistance for many, many people, executive administration. She's been in event planning, all kinds of stuff, and we'll get her to tell her story here shortly. And she fell in love with public relations and social media, and that is really what her focus is now. One of the interesting things with Anari is that I met her while chatting with an author named Anthony Collins, and she works with, I would believe, and she can correct me on this, spiritual entrepreneurs, those folks that are out there really making a difference. So we're going to chat with her. She's also an author. She has her Natalie series, which was inspired by her childhood and her children. And this is an African-American series about a four-year-old little girl named Natalie who tells her experiences from a four-year-old's perspective. And if you've been listening to my shows, you know these are our best teachers. So with this series, she leaves the world as Anari Bellamy and emerges as Sissy Rochelle. So I'm going to bring Anari on now. There you are. Hello. Anari, can you hear me? All right, so I have unmuted her, and I know we're having some interesting technical things. It took me about 15 minutes to get into the studio, so hopefully if you will check your connection, make sure you're not muted. You are unmuted on this side, and I know she's familiar with this technology, as she has also is co-hosting a radio show and that I would love for her to talk about. So, but really we want to talk about law of attraction and business and really what that means. And I believe one of the key things that I really focused on when I was really starting on my awareness journey was using law of attraction in business, and was very much fascinated by energy and how it works and how that was going to intermingle with my clients, the people that I, my clients, my distributors, and all the different pieces of the puzzle that had to be put together to create a successful business. So I'm getting something, Anari, but I can't hear you, but I'm hearing some static or something. Maybe this is you. Hello? All right. So as she is working on that end, I'll just keep flapping my jaws, as I say. It's really interesting when you really take on the perspective of energy in business, and as Anari will tell us about, is the folks that she's working with and how they've come into being and working with her. And I find that that's very much my perspective now, is shifting, and the client base for me that's shifting, and who I'm working with and how I'm working with them, and even clients who have been with me through one type of business have come right along on the journey as I've shifted myself, my perspective, and my business. So I think that's been a really interesting, an interesting ride. And Mary, if you can hear me, I don't know if you want to try to call back, hang up and call back and see if we can't get you on. Otherwise, we can Skype in. We can try that, Asha. I think she heard me. And we've been having some contrast with our host, our serving host, Blog Talk Radio. So we are in the works. If you have been listening to our shows, we are in the works of probably moving our platform to something else as we're looking and creating our own. But also, if you're out there and you've got a suggestion, I would love to hear it. You can email me at ask@universalenergyradio.com. So as we're waiting for her, a couple of things I want to talk about is our shows. This show is sponsored by the Awakened Spirit Expo, which is happening here in a couple of weeks, actually a month, end of May through the beginning of June, literally the last weekend of May to the beginning of June, and it's called the Awakened Spirit Expo. Go check that out online. Okay, let's try this again. Hello. Aneri, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. There you are. Oh, you got to love technology, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been trying to get the chat. I'm talking to you and trying to get you on the line. I'm also trying to get the chat box open, which is not – is not working either, so I'm not sure. I know you're familiar with Blog Talk, so every once in a while you'll get these little hookups, and I call them expansion. So I've gone through and kind of told the folks about you and about who you are and what you're doing, but I would certainly love your story. I didn't go through everything, so it really – now you now – are a you now have a business that's really about educating other entrepreneurs, correct? And you've created the Institute of Entrepreneurial Success. So why don't we start there about talking about what you're doing now, and then we can kind of back up and lead your story into how you got to this.
Okay, sure. And thanks for having me on the show, by the way. I really,
sure,
really appreciate it. And, yeah, the Institute of Entrepreneurial Success basically came from my struggles of learning how to be an entrepreneur and all those lovely, smart mistakes that I made. You know, I try not to say that they were someone because I didn't know any better. So the smart mistakes that I made that taught me the correct way of doing things. And I didn't want other people to suffer through that same thing when it had already been done. So what I've done with the Institute of Entrepreneurial Success is we are creating e-courses to really walk people through different things like marketing, social media, being their own public relation person, branding, anything and everything that has to do with business, website design. Because a lot of times we find that we take courses and it tells us what we need, and it tells us why we need it, but it forgets to tell us how to go about it.
That's correct.
So these courses is going to do that. It's going to tell us the how of it. It's going to, you know, walk you through actually doing activities, actually walking through the steps of doing it. And so by the time you finish the course, whatever it is that you're trying to learn, you will actually have experience in it. Because it makes you actually go through the actions of doing it. So it does. It comes with homework. So I do warn people. It comes with homework and projects and things that they're allowed to turn in so someone can look at it and say, yes, you're on the right path, or no, you're not. Because there's nothing worse than thinking that you're doing it the way you're being taught to do it, only to find out in the end that you didn't and you have to start all over.
Right. Right. No, I get that. That's so important, too, because many times, and myself included, we'll hire coaches and we'll you know, do courses and things like that, and it has a tendency to repeat some of the things that we, you know, the motivational aspect of it, and then it's like, okay, that's great, I'm motivated, but how do I do it? How do I get it done? And a lot of times in my business, I usually say people have one of, they usually have, hopefully they have both, but usually they have one of two things. One is time and one is money. So the choices are up to you as well, because if you've got time to do things, I'm the person, I like to know how to do things. Whether I'm going to do them or whether I'm going to delegate them, I first want to know how to do them. So I think it's really important that entrepreneurs have a place, especially now, because there's so much information that we have a tendency to get overloaded with, what do I do next, you know?
I'm glad you said that, because I'll give you, like, the marketing courses, for example. That's where I'm starting, because that seems to be where the struggle is. I'm starting those May the 1st. I don't throw it all at you at one time. So you have all the different pieces of marketing. Like, one course is just about creating your marketing plan, and it teaches you how to actually create that plan. And then the next one, you know, will teach you maybe email marketing, because there's so many different kinds that you have to master in different ways that it can be quite overbearing, trying to learn how to correctly construct an email, and then social media marketing, and then, you know, direct marketing, what to say, how to say it, the face of your business. And if you, all of that is coming at you at one time, you know, content marketing. So they're all broken up. So if you, you know, if you've mastered social media marketing and you just want to learn how to email market, then you can just purchase the course for email marketing. You don't have to purchase things that aren't beneficial to you, or things that you've already learned.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick them apart.
Excellent. So you've got this, you can pick and choose. So if you've already got, say, your social media down, or you've got someone doing your social media, but you're interested in, say, just content marketing, then that would be, it's great, because then you just get to pick and choose. That's wonderful. So, okay, so you talked about the smart decisions that you made along the way to get you to where you are. So you've had a couple of different businesses, and really a lot of them, except for the event planning, was really kind of about what you're doing now, which is writing and helping other businesses, correct?
Exactly. They were. And they were all a learning process, because being a stay-at-home mom, being my background, I didn't have a lot of that upfront revenue to make the journey easy. So I actually learned how to use the internet and bills that I already paid, which was internet, electricity, you know, from home, to create a business and function out in the world as if I was in an office, you know, in an office building somewhere. So I always tell people, you got to start somewhere, because that's a lot of people's hold is, you know, I don't have the money to start a business. Okay, we'll start somewhere. You know,
One of my mentor's sayings is, you don't have to get it right, you just got to get it going. And
exactly.
So a lot of people say, okay, how, you know, what does that mean? If that means you're on Facebook and you need to use Facebook for your marketing right now, that's fine. If you need to use one of the free websites out there, then that's fine. Just start somewhere, create a presence. And one of the things that I think is often overlooked in everything we're doing now is the offline stuff, because so many people are doing things online that they kind of forget. I know some of my clients are, you know, they'll say, you know, I've written the articles and I've submitted them, and I've got things published, and I've got my press releases going, and I've got everything going, I've got my social media going. Why am I not getting the business? And I said, have you left your office, or have you left your house to go to network with people? So, and I don't know if you know, my guess is you've got probably some conversations in there, because a lot of folks are local to, I know where you are and where I am, and a lot of folks that I work with are local. So it's we've got to be people as well, and connect with other people, and hopefully kind of, you know, get out. And that was just a funny aspect of it. It's like, well, have you gone and connected with some people lately? You know, having that connection. But one of the things I talked about, and I don't know if you heard me say this, is, you know, I met you through Anthony Collins, who is a best-selling author, and he's traveling and speaking and inspiring people. Do you find that this is the type of clientele that you serve?
I like to say it's the type of clientele I attract.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the type of clientele, it's the only type of clientele I accept.
Nice.
I'm a firm believer in energy,
mm-hmm.
positive and negative. So if you let, sometimes people sacrifice quality for finance, and they take on clients or people or work with people who bring the finance but don't bring the positive energy. And what they don't realize is that spreads throughout their business, and it affects their other clients as well, and they don't even
mm-hmm.
realize it. It affects their ability to service their other people as well. So with people like Anthony and anybody else that works with All in One and I work with, it's more than a client service relationship. I don't really have client service relationships. We have business relationships. We have what you would call a business brotherhood and sisterhood, where we all see each other. You know, although there's, you know, fees and finances behind it, we help each other. So I share his things because I want to, not because, you know, not just because he paid me to. He shares things
mm-hmm.
that I have going on because he passionately wants to. So when you create that kind of network within a business,
mm-hmm.
it just automatically attracts other people. Marketing no longer mm-hmm. becomes an issue because they can just see the relationship. And who doesn't want
right.
to be a part of a relationship?
That's awesome. I love that you said that, because it's so interesting to me how, as, you know, like we do these radio shows, and the folks that we get to chat with and have these great conversations with, so many wonderful external one, like I had Anthony on the show, and then that led to you, and then we're also going to have another guest here in a couple weeks, but it's like a domino effect. And to me, that's the beauty of all of this, the energy exchange. So whether you call that energy exchange, service, money, you know, trade, whatever it is, that's really what it is. It's an energetic exchange. And right now, money just happens to be an energy exchange that everybody in the world understands what it is. Well, they understand that there's money, and they say the money makes the world go round, but it's energy, and that's what it is. But when you infuse that energy with such positive joy and happiness, and really you want to help, you want to present, much like conversation, you and I, I don't have a service that caters to specifics for, I mean, it's not out there, but we do very similar things. And in the world, the external world, people would say, well, why are you two even communicating with each other? Aren't you competition? It's like, one, that's a lack mentality. And two, it's no, we're here to help each other. How can we help each other, uplift each other, work with each other, and help each other create the life of you say, the life of your dreams, or just the life that you were intended to live. So to me, this is a great example of co-creation and being able to experience different perspectives. Let's just say that, because that's one big thing that I want people to understand is you might say, okay, I want to be, I don't know, let's just say I want to be a wellness facilitator, and there are how many wellness facilitators out there, but yet you bring your own unique perspective to that particular the thing that you want to do, much like you, Aneri, bring such a unique perspective, and you are able to organize and do the projects for your clients. And in return, your clients, you know, are they want to help you as well. And to me, that's the ebb and flow of business, and that's the ebb and flow of how it works. And I think that that's fantastic. And I love that. And I totally understand what you're saying about the kind of energy, because as I was transitioning my business, my print business, and letting and releasing a lot of the clients that they didn't really serve me, and they were, they have their, you know, and again, there's no judgment. It's just the things that they were creating in their life were things that I just didn't really want to mix with. And I made the decision that even though it was money, and even though they were, you know, projects that were, you know, in the past huge, it was just an energetic decision to not work with them anymore because it just didn't feel good. I mean, it's really that simple. Yeah.
Yep.
And it took a little bit to get there. But, yeah, so tell us more. Let's see, you've got the entrepreneur. Now, what else? Let me give out your website. For those of you that want more information on Aneri, please go to AneriBellamy.com, AneriBellamy.com. Now, you just don't do just the marketing piece and the social media and the PR and all that, but you also do some of the mindset stuff too, yes?
Yes, I do mindset. I do. I try to. There's a lot out there that tackles the entrepreneurial from the how point of view or the business side, but a lot of times people forget that the entrepreneur has to be mentally ready and emotionally ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually created a blog called Your Success Therapy, where we tackle the inside, the entrepreneur from the inside, and you know, and it's a thin line to be professional with one and deal with them professionally and deal with them emotionally at the same time. But I find myself crossing that line all the time unless I'm turned away otherwise, because there is just no point in me talking to you about your business and how to grow your business if your confidence isn't there, if you're not confident in your own project or you have self-esteem issues or you know, life just isn't going right and you need encouragement, you're not going to hear me. You know, it's just not going to, it's not going to work. So I try to tackle both sides. A lot of times it's a load to carry, but it's worth it in the long run. So, yeah, we do tackle mindsets. And I actually am getting ready to start doing some webinars just on the mindset and how to obtain your desires and your ambitions and steps to take and ways to go about really, really getting where you're trying to go. And you and I both know it's all about that energy and how you look at things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the difference between saying I want to and I can.
That is so true. It's one of the things that I talk about is you've got to have that foundation, the foundation that says, yes, I can. I had someone come to me and say, you know, what does it take to be an entrepreneur? And I just said, guts. I mean, because you've got to work on that inside. You've got to know inside that this is the step that you want to take. And this being an entrepreneur is, there's a lot of fear around that because people have the I want to call it the illusion of security in a J-O-B, or the illusion of a security with healthcare, or the illusion of security with just so many things out there when they have their job. And again, if you want to work with somebody and you're happy in your job, that's great. I feel like there's so many people out there that have a phenomenal calling and they're not allowing themselves to take that step. And that because of a fear. And to me, that's all foundational work. Those are things that have to happen before you even build the website or before you even brand yourself at some point. Because, yeah, you've got to, because you're right. If you go to a certain point and then you're scared. I mean, I've had clients call me and go, okay, the money is running out of the savings account, and you know, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and almost because they're in a place that they're not used to, and it's like, all right, stop right there. As we continue that chatter, we're going to create more of that.
Yeah.
It's so important to understand that the mindset is so important to your business, and or I would say, you know, we're talking about entrepreneurs and how energy applies to that, but you know, really in anything in life, whether it's a job or your home or whatever it is, it's the swirling of that energy is so important.
And being able to address fear, because I don't want to give people the illusion that I don't still get afraid, you know, become afraid. A lot of times when you're launching out to add a new service or, you know, go from client services for people to building this institute, there's a fear that comes with that big leap that you're taking. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I'm really doing this. Or you decide to do a huge collaboration with someone. And then there are sometimes those times when you feel like, am I worthy to work with this person? You know, am I on their level to be able to work with this person? And I don't care who you are or how strong-minded you are or where your self-esteem is. To say that it never comes up, you know, I have to put a question mark on that. Now, your ability to be able to stop it at the door and say, hey, now wait a minute, if this is not how we operate, you know better. You know what I mean? I'm not going to allow that thought to linger in my mind. No fear. Yes, I've worked hard to be here. I deserve to be here. Keep pushing. That's one thing, the ability to do that. But it happens. I mean, fear happens. Doubt happens. It's just what you do with it when it comes up determines the difference between you moving forward and you being stuck. Because, like you said, people are sitting out there with goldmine ideas. They have solutions that people need, and they're sitting on them because they're afraid. You know, so there's a lot of people out there that the world is waiting on. They have the solution, but they're just afraid to step forward.
That's so true. It's so true. And that's something that, you know, I'm tinkering around. I've been doing a lot of research on the human brain and looking into different functions of the brain. And it's been interesting to me, the discoveries that have come up about the human brain as opposed to looking at, you know, running away from something or running towards something. So it's a really unique perspective when, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, and we look at that, it's like a lot of people, I know a lot of people who are just sick, you know, they've come to me, I'm tired of my job, I'm tired of that, and they want to do something, they want a career, they want to go after their passion. But one of the things that I tell them is, like, before you even quit that job, you need to fall in love with it again. And I know that sounds nuts. What happens is if you leave a job because something's irritating you or you're just really angry, you bring that energy with you. So same thing. Yes, and the same thing, like you've had, and you and I both, we've had a couple of different businesses. Well, actually, my businesses have kind of been really the same. They've just sort of changed names over the years. And it's like, you know, what is it that drove you to keep going? Let me ask you that question. What is it that kept you going when you went from, so your first one was you were an SEO writer and a blogger, and you were helping other professionals and doing their writing. And then you ended up, I think you took a job working with a nonprofit agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you went from one thing to another, and then you came back and you created a virtual assistant business. And then now I know based on your story, you are, because you've got kids, and I'm raising my hands to that now because I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, so life is totally different with kids. So what is it that drove you to stay with it as an entrepreneur? Was it out of necessity for your family, or was it just you just felt, I'm not going to work for anybody else? Or I think that's a question that I get sometimes, but I feel like I've been an entrepreneur for so long, it terrifies me to go on a job, the idea of going on a job interview. So I want to get your perspective on this. Did my question make sense? Like, staying with it. Yeah.
It does. It was a couple of factors that made me stay with it. One was I love different. I love putting puzzles together, per se. Mm-hmm. So I accidentally introduced into this world of, hey, you can go on Odesk and apply for little writing jobs and people pay you to put words on paper. I'm like, people pay you to put words on paper? Mm-hmm. Are you serious? Okay, well, let's just see how, I wrote in one writing contest, so let's just see what I can do with it. Let's see if I get paid to put words on paper. And then it became, well, why not give it a business name and, turn these people into my clients to put words on paper? So that's where one of the businesses came from. And I did it only part-time simply because it was just a hobby, just to see, what kind of contracts I could land, how well I could do it. And then someone came along and said, hey, I'm unemployed, I can't seem to find a job. Like, hey, there's this writing thing that I do. You might want to give it a try. And through that, I met the director of the nonprofit agency. And mm-hmm. I caught a mistake on an important document. It was a test. It was a test run for me to transcribe something for him. And I found a mistake on the document in the name that he had said. And obviously it was a really big issue. I just thought, hey, it was pretty simple, but it must have been a big issue because the next thing you know, I'm his executive assistant. So I'm like, okay. And then that was a whole new world because I'm like on conference calls with Homeland Security and DHS and FEMA and, we're figuring out how to get fleets of trucks, the electric trucks and things across state without having to pay tolls and the time delay. And that was just awesome. But then they decided, that wasn't the best thing to do virtually, but it should be done in-house. So the entrepreneur in me just said, hey, well, if I could do that from my living room for him, why can't I do that for other people? So hence the administrative business. And each one that I built, I gave away to somebody else who needed it and I felt would take care of it. So just the desire to learn, the desire to master things was one thing that drove me. The other thing that drove me was people close to me telling me that I couldn't, that I had lost my mind and that it wasn't real and it couldn't happen. And, I'm watching it happen for other people. I'm like, if they can do it, I can do it. So I don't know why I can't do it. So that was a motivation for me as well. It's like, yes, I can do this. And then the third motivation was just being able to be home with my baby. Now my husband never had complaints about carrying the bills and everything. He was just content with me being home with him as well. But I wanted to be something other than my children's mother. I wanted mm-hmm. to actually have a title outside mm-hmm. of that because that was my title. I was my husband's wife and my children's mother. I wasn't a nanny. I was just whoever's mom and whoever's wife, So that world just allowed me to create a name for me outside of that atmosphere. So just the desire to learn, put together the puzzle, and people telling me that I can't. I mean, that's the best way to get me motivated is to tell me I can't do something.
I love that.
Yeah, that is the best way. If it's meant to mentally tear me down and get me to quit, then it backfires every time.
I love that.
I've been creating that name for myself.
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. I think that's a lot. There are so many people out there that, with so many different coaches and so many folks that I've worked with, and having the, you know, oh, you know, you've got your hopes and your dreams, but don't tell anybody, because they're gonna be poo-pooers out there. They're gonna be people who say, you, why are you doing that, or can't do that. But you have to get to the point where you're only listening to yourself. You're only taking in what you want to take in. That is so important. I still have an uncle that's, hey, you making any money with that radio show? You know, and it's like, it's not about the money, dude. I keep telling him. He's like, you know, how much you making? And I said, I can't even put a price on how much I'm making with this. Because what I get out of these shows is for my internal well-being, and having these types of energetic, high column, raise the vibration conversations. This is like having, these shows can be like meditation. They can be like going to get a massage, or they can be like going through a Reiki session, or any of those things, because of the energy that is put into these shows. There isn't a price that can be put on that. And people don't understand that. They're still looking for that external validation. Like you said, all the ones that you just decided, I don't want to do that, you gave them, you put them in the hands of someone who is going to take care of it and nurture it and allow it to grow the way they want it to grow. You actually planted a seed and gifted somebody a plant, if you will, when you did that. And I think that's what I would hope that we're doing here.
And
go ahead.
That's where people drop the ball with online businesses as well. They get so locked up into the, did I get my email marketing out? Did I do my email marketing? Did I do my Facebook post? That they forget to just stop and just simply say hello to someone. You know, just reach out and say, you know, hi, I see that you offer this service. And this person over here I saw was looking for it. You might want to reach out to them. That whole networking. It can be done online, just like you do at a chamber event or an expo, or you just have to step out of that mindset and actually do it. And, I mean, that's how even I met. You know, I just reached out and just started talking to you as if we were standing face-to-face, you know. And we get so caught up in forgetting to do that and forgetting to just do a good deed just because. You know, connect to people just because they need each other. Not for a fee, you know. Don't say, hey,
right,
I know somebody can use your service. You know, it's going to cost you $50, but I can connect you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do it just because, and it always comes back. You know, it does. Always comes back if you take the time to do that.
And the value of that is generally it comes back more, even more so than what you would expect. And there's a lot. I mean, even in marketing, I mean, you know, we talk about affiliate marketing and things like that. It's true. And at the same time, yes, this is all about, it's the same thing. I think Anthony had gotten on the show, and then you sent me an email, and then you and I actually was like, let's get on the phone and talk, you know? So that's the cool, and I love that. It's like not being able to be approachable, I think, is very important, and that's something that you don't often see with folks out there who are running businesses or writing books or anything, you know, somebody might call a guru. You know, it's this guru out there, and oh my God, how dare I even talk to you because, you know, you're the owner of this successful school or whatever it is. But to me, it's like when you're willing to give your time and your energy, even if it's just for a few minutes, to somebody to have a conversation to say, yes, you know, I can point you in the right direction. I can help you, or I can point you in the right direction. Whatever that is, that's one of the things that is so important to me is the approachability, because I've done a lot of courses out there, and it's like, how many of those courses can I actually call the author of the course or email the author of the course and expect a message back or a phone call back?
Exactly. And that's why I'm keeping mine where I'm only doing so many at a time, and building it slowly, is because it has those features. It has, you know, where, let's say you and I are taking the same course, we can actually talk to each other within the platform. You know, we can actually introduce ourselves to each other or have chats. They'll actually be able to ask questions. You know, if they're reading something and they have a question, they'll be able to ask the question and the response. So in order to do that, you have to work in steps. You know, I mean, I could put 1,000 courses out there and get a nice return from it, but is it really helping people? You know, if I just throw 1,000 of them out there and say, okay, go for it. Is that really helping anyone? So the goal is to be different.
Yeah, the goal is to get it out there, but also be of assistance and be productive. No, it's like we resonate on so many things because there are so many things. Like I have lots of, you know, I've worked with coaches and they look at me and they go, you have tons of content. You can get out there and you can sell this content. Well, right now, all the content that I've created, especially through these shows, you can get on iTunes. You can get on our website. You can get anywhere. You don't have to do anything to get content because it's about connectivity. And I'm just now getting to the point where I'm creating things that are products that can be purchased. But the same thing, it's you want to be able to give back in such a way. And that's one thing that I always want to do. It's like I feel like I've been a philanthropist most of my life, even though I haven't been in a position to be a philanthropist most of my life. But it's to the point where I've been able to set up little scholarship funds and do little things here and there and help different nonprofit organizations. But it's not one of those things where I don't have that like big bold blasting on my website saying, you know, this is who I am because I give back, but I give back because I genuinely want to give back. I do things because I genuinely want to do them. And I think a good majority of I want to call us spiritual entrepreneurs, or what do they call it? What's the label they have for us now? It's entrepreneurial change agents. That's a good one.
We're called all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff. Because it's about doing business, but doing business differently. It's doing business together. And it's not about competing against each other. And that, again, is so important. You know, we could talk and talk and talk about this, but I do want to talk about your Natalie series, your books. So let me, your website one more time is anaribellamy.com, anaribellamy.com. And if you go there, you're going to see, I had your website up here, and I think I took it down, but all kinds of information she has. If you're interested, if you're an entrepreneur, a budding entrepreneur, wannabe entrepreneur, you know, get in touch with her. She's got the Institute of Entrepreneurial Success. Her modules come out May 1st. Fantastic stuff. You'd shoot her an email, give her a call. But please, let's talk about the Natalie series of books, what inspired you with that, and just the subject of listening to our children.
Yeah, the book is one of those things where, you know, we were talking about when you've been given something, and you're not operating in your calling, and it was just one of those things where I sat down one day and I drew this little girl, and she just came to life on paper. I had no intentions of it. It wasn't a free conversation. You know, I had, at the time, I only had two girls at the time, and I just felt like drawing, you know. My husband was like, wow, I haven't seen you get out drawing paper in a while. I'm like, you know, I know. And I just sat down, and I just started to draw this little girl. I had no clue that that's what I was going to draw when I sat down, and she just came to life on paper. And Natalie is a nickname my mom actually would call me, and so I called her Natalie. And she sat there on that paper for a while. And then one day, I reached back into my childhood, and I remembered a story about a coat that I wanted, because my mom didn't have the best health when I was growing up. So economically, things were hard because she couldn't work. And I remembered the story behind this coat that I wanted. And I remembered the story behind first being introduced to prayer. And what it really meant. And so I took that and I put that story into the first story of the series, which is Natalie's new coat. And then I took it from the child's perspective because a lot of times, you know, we read children's books and things, and that's just it. We're reading them, and we're reading to the child. But I wanted it to be something where it was educational for the child and the adult. Because a lot of times our kids have this way of thinking, and we're like, what in the world were you thinking? So as the parents are reading this series to the child, I want the child to be able to relate and say, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, or that's exactly how I was feeling. And I want the adult to be able to say, that's why you do that, or that's what you're thinking when you do that. So that's why I decided to write it in Natalie's voice. You know, it was giving a four-year-old a voice, and it was allowing me to tell a lot of my childhood stories. And just adding something, again, adding something different to the world from a children's perspective, which is my other passion, and that's working with children.
So how can someone get your books?
That website is www.thenataliecollection.com.
Okay. Nice.
And there's also a free membership. Natalie has a club that you can sign children up for, and she sends out birthday cards, and she sends out letters in her voice addressed to the child. The child is able to mail Natalie anything, you know, any kind of conversations they want to have. She's going to have little summer books that come out, little activity books, age appropriate depending on the age of the child that's in the membership. So it's also an interactive series. I'm just the creator, but I push Natalie as the character as opposed to pushing the author.
Very nice. I really like it. And that's, to me, that's all about creativity. That's what it's all about. Whether you are an entrepreneur or not, whether you're someone who's new to this information of energy or not. And I love that you're doing all these different things. So I'm going to say that the next thing that you're up to is you start May 1st with your classes on the Entrepreneurial Institute. And for those of you that are just coming on, we are chatting with Aneri Bellamy, who is an entrepreneur, a mom, a wife. Notice I put entrepreneur first there.
Yes.
an author, an artist. She's all those things. And we can do it. That's just it. It'll allow your free spirit and your creativity to soar, because we can do anything. And through Aneri's school, the Institute of Entrepreneurial Success, she breaks down and gives you step-by-step what it is that you need to create and build a business, a successful business, based on her wonderful life experiences, her beautiful, wonderful life experiences, and taking all of that and everything that she's learned and packaging it up. And we love that. So please check out AneriBellamy.com. And for you, those of you out there with children, please check out TheNatalieCollection.com, which is a collection of stories from a four-year-old perspective. Do not underestimate that. Children are our best teachers, so please take a look at that. And, Aneri, I want to thank you so much for joining me on Universal Energy Radio with all the technical things that have happened, all the silliness of the day. We'll have to do this again and update us after the first. Let us know how everything's going over there with the marketing module. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. And just keep an eye on my website, and I leave all the updates and things there to everything that I have going on. So it's a good place, a good landing place for everything.
Very, very nice. And again, that's AneriBellamy.com, AneriBellamy.com. That's also in the show notes. All right. Thank you so much, everyone who's tuned in. Aneri, you're amazing and so creative. I'm so glad we hooked up.
Thank
this
you.
Has been nice. It's been a good conversation. I really do appreciate it. You were listening to Aneri Bellamy and Anna Bangulin on Universal Energy Net Radio. Remember that life is a journey. Be happy where you are and watch where it takes you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.